Speaking of strange political bedfellows, Bill Thielman is up next. Mark Hashik, and do you know Bill?
I don't know Bill. I've never met him, but of course, living in Vancouver, being involved in media, he's hard to miss.
Bill Thielman, are you with us? And he's not answering. I'm getting a no-go on that, and so we'll have to hopefully. Well, it can't be a hockey game.
No.
Because you would know about. You wouldn't be here if there was a Canucks game, would you?
Well, if they're playing in July, that would be very unusual.
No, I mean, even if it was during hockey season.
Yeah, no, I'd be here. Of course,
would you be here?
Yeah, I have PVR.
Don't tell me you're one of those people that watch the same game over and over again.
Well, no. If I was here, I wouldn't be watching the game. I'd go home and I would watch the recorded version.
Okay, but wait a minute. Yeah, now, this is, I'm intrigued about this. Okay, now, would there be ever a time that that recorded version, you watch the recorded version once, would there ever be a time that you would watch it twice?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay. You know what? There are people that watch the same game two and three times over.
Well, it depends. Listen, if there are a lot of fights, I might be interested in that. But otherwise, no.
Man, guns, fights, government intrusion. All right. Well, listen, we're going to give Bill Thielman a few more tries. I'm not sure why he isn't answering. We have all his numbers. And Bill, if you're listening and I've got your numbers wrong, maybe you can call us at, what is our good phone number? 604-525-4167. Failing that, I see our technician madly dialing away there. I'm sure that Renee Schmitz is standing by and we'll go to Nurses for Life. But let's just touch on the Great HST War. Mm. Mark, have you sent in your three envelopes yet?
I have.
And are you going to tell our listeners what you did?
Absolutely.
What
I
voted. Wait. Okay, I just have to prepare myself because, you see, depending on how you...
Got Bill.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, wait, before...
I'm not going to reveal that. No.
No. We've just gotten word that Bill is now on the line. Okay. Bill Thielman, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. And I was listening to you say you couldn't talk to me, and I was sitting at home waiting for the call, but there was a mix-up in the number.
Ah, there we go. All right, Bill Thielman, you have been one busy man over this, what I have termed and what Roadkill Radio has come to understand as the Great HST War of now 2010 and 11.
That's true. It's been a two-year battle, and as you mentioned, strange bedfellows. Bill Vanderzam and I, we're actually traveling together to Victoria tomorrow. We're going to go to Elections BC, sign in as observers, and see what the heck's going on with the initial process of counting the ballots.
All right. Now, just going back, because I do think that this is just an intriguing story. For one thing, I love the whole people power movement here, and I appreciate so much the efforts of yourself, Chris Delaney, Bill Vanderzam. I mean, did you really think that this process would still be going on after all these months, well, years now?
Oh, gosh, no. Bill and I were talking the other day. I mean, this has just been the long march or something, because we really thought, Kerry and Mark, that if Premier Campbell, who is now no longer the Premier, listened and watched what was going on, if the Liberal Party watched what was going on, they would say, you know what, this is really a bad idea. We're going to get killed on this thing. Mm. Let's just back off and say, look, you know, sober second thought, let's not do it. And they just wouldn't and kept on going. And you can see, if you watch political history and political circumstances across the country, as I do and as you folks do, I mean, you've never seen a more inept, incompetent introduction of a major policy in your life or any recovery.
Well, and then add to that, forget about Campbell. Christy Clark, Premier Clark, had a whole opportunity to again just say, look, this was wrong what we did, let's start over, and she didn't do that.
What was amazing to me is, and you know what a suspicious person I am, I know Christy Clark's been running for Premier for about 5 or 10 years now. I was surprised that on her talk show she didn't at least either take a pass on it or at least say, you know, she said it was sneaky what the Liberals did, but then she supported the HST. Hmm. And I thought, wow, you could have really, you know, cut a different cloth for yourself there and said, I don't think it's right and I think it should be put to a vote or it shouldn't have happened and I wouldn't do it that way and I'm not going to support support it, but she supported it, and now they're in it. And, you know, they've spent $7 million of taxpayer dollars to promote this thing. They said it was going to be neutral, and it's not. They said it was going to be a level playing field with Fight HST, our group, and the Smart Tax Alliance, a big business organization. Well, we each got $250,000, but there's no limits on spending. There's no disclosure. There will be no disclosure of any of the contributions being made. And we've got groups like the Coal Association, the petroleum producers, the pipeline producers, all throwing in who knows how much money, and we'll never find out. And they've spent easily $10, $15 million on TV ads right through the Stanley Cup and everything else. Money is no object on this one.
Yeah, my money and Mark's money and your money.
Well, it's true, and it's very frustrating that the government can do that. And, you know, I understand government advertising, and sometimes it crosses the line into partisan, but this one is the premier promised not to do that. The premier promised also that she wouldn't cut the rate in advance of the vote because it would be like buying people with their own money. And then 2 months later, she does it. And now we're supposed to believe that she didn't even keep that promise for two months, and we're supposed to believe in 3 years they're going to cut the tax.
Oh, come on, Bill. You're such a cynic. I mean, you know, really, you don't think they would follow through with that promise?
Well, Carrie, you know, the truth is I was a big fan of George Bush the first, and when he said, read my lips, no new taxes, I believed him, and ever since I've had a problem.
Well, you were traumatized appropriately, were you?
This definitely has been a crash course in how not to introduce policy, that's for sure. Bill, I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts of the tax. Critics, including yourself, make the claim that the HST disproportionately affects low-income earners. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. I mean, if you're at the very bottom of low income, which would be a minimal amount of money, you know, $10,000 or something, you're going to get a tax credit. But a tax rebate. Hmm. But what's happening, Mark, is the whole idea is, I mean, you can imagine Gordon Campbell and Colin Hanson, the former finance minister, getting together and saying, gee, how can we help the poor even more than we already have? Increase the minimum wage? No, let's leave it the way it is for the last 8 years. You know, reduce child poverty, the worst record in Canada. No, I know, we'll bring in a new tax and we'll give the poor some of the money. It just boggles the imagination to think that. But let's just say that they break even, because the idea of the rebate is to compensate people with low income
right.
for the amount of extra money they have to spend on the tax. It's not to raise their income. It was never said, it's never been said until Kevin Falcon and Chrissy Clark got desperate.
Now,
those folks, but let's just say it's a break even, or even they make a few dollars on it, just to for the sake of argument. It's the large group of folks who are in between the very low income and into the upper income brackets who are really paying for this tax. With every time you go out for a restaurant meal and pay for the food, or you take a domestic airline ticket, you get a haircut, buy vitamins, buy a bicycle. All these services that were never taxed by the provincial sales tax are now there. So even if you take the government at its word that it'll reduce the extra 7% to 6% next year to 5% 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, even if you take them at the word, you're still paying 5% extra on all sorts of things, like your maintenance and home repair, and just the list is literally hundreds of items.
That previously was, it's important for people to understand this, that previously were not affected.
That's
by the
correct.
Tax, the goods
they
and services.
They were only taxed with the GST, the federal GST at 5%. Now it's 12%. And again, Mark, this is the other thing that makes me really go wild. The government's out there and the Smart Tax Alliance saying vote yes for a 10% tax. Well, it's a 12% tax. And until and unless the government actually implements the 11% next year and the 10% 3 years from now, it's still a 12% tax. And we know from, you know, this is the thing, some of the NDPers don't like me when I say this, but Nova Scotia, Darrell Dexter, the NDP government said, I'm not going to raise taxes. First thing he does is say, gee, the books look terrible. I'm going to raise the HST 2 points to 15%.
Hmm.
Don't think it can't happen here under any government.
Oh, don't believe
it. Raise it again.
Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, there was an independent panel, correct? That looked
it wasn't, there was a panel which was called independent. It wasn't independent. And
okay, can you tell us the makeup of that panel and what were some of their findings?
Sure. Well, we had John Richards, who's an economist at SFU, used to be an NDP MLA in Saskatchewan, has become increasingly on the right. He is one of the economists who actually, after his report came out, he signed on supporting the HST. So I have grave questions about his independence prior to the report.
Step back for a second, Bill.
Sure.
Who was funding the panel, and when did it release its findings?
It completely on its own. We had no input. There are no private citizens. Nobody else appointed them. They were appointed by the government solely. So there's John Richards. There's Jim Dinning, who was the treasurer of Alberta. under the Conservative government, and pretty obviously you're not going to get the finance minister, effectively, of Alberta coming over here, hired by the government, to say, you know what, the government did a terrible job, we got to get rid of this. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
The head of the Coast Credit Saving Union, Tracy Reddy's, and the fourth member was George Morphett, who's a former Auditor General. George Morphett has had so many government contracts over the years. I mean, he makes an enormous amount of money from government work.
One of those
guys.
So
I'm sorry, I don't have anything against George Morphett or any of the other people, but they're not independent.
So talk about some of their findings, though, because I think it's interesting. I'm completely skeptical. I think it's a dubious panel, to say the least. But what did they find out?
Well, in fact, what was interesting, and you know, we sort of criticized at the time but didn't go crazy on it, and we waited to see the report. And in fact, the report was very damning of the government, and that's one of the reasons why Christy Clark and Kevin Faulkner have been promising this reduction, because they said what no one had said before, and none of the 93 economists who support the HST had predicted, this isn't revenue neutral at all. It's actually raising an extra $820 million in the next fiscal year. And over on top of what was projected, as you remember, Gordon Campbell, Colin Hanson, this is revenue neutral, et cetera. Well, it was never a revenue neutral for citizens, for consumers, because they're picking up the tab for big business primarily, and businesses that aren't going to pay these taxes anymore. But it was supposed to be revenue neutral for government. Now we know that it's, in fact, it's a huge cash cow for the government, and you know, it's already approaching $1 billion extra just 1 year after it started. So this is quite something. So that's the first time the independent panel, the government never admitted this. And again, as you know, like bad public policy, the government never did any studies before the introduction and the announcement of the HST. They never did any serious studies, period. They had one report from Jack Mintz, I think it was 17 pages, and he's already supported the HST in Ontario. And that was it. I mean, this is just a travesty of public policy, regardless of your position. Like, if you think the HST is the best thing for the economy, which the Liberal government said, then prove it, and then let people try that one out and put it before an election and see where you go with it. Because
right.
No government has yet been reelected that introduced the HST, whether the federal, liberal, or provincial level. They've all been defeated.
Right across the country.
Every single province and the federal government when it brought in the GST.
I think they'd get the hint after a while.
Yeah, I don't know. Politicians aren't known to be super swift at times, but man, oh man, I mean, Saskatchewan was defeated, Quebec was defeated, Ontario looks like it'll be defeated next, and, you know, maybe if BC is lucky, if Christy Clark's lucky, and the vote goes through the way we hope it was with a yes to extinguish, maybe she'll survive that because it was repealed.
You know what? As I travel across and speak to a lot of people on a variety of issues, Bill, this one it's kind of funny. Well, in an amusing kind of way, is that people are really pissed off. I'm going to use that term. They are just pissed off. They're beyond ticked off. They're pissed off over this, and there seems to be this desire. Regardless, even if there was a real sensible argument to support the HST, people just want to spank the government. People are fed up with the arrogance being lied to. I think this is a whole, I mean, not only do you have the logical arguments of which you are presenting here tonight on Roadkill, but there's this an additional factor in all of this, and that people are wanting to convey and send a very loud message to elected officials that they don't want to tolerate this kind of nonsense anymore. Is that something that you found as you've spoken across the province on this issue?
Oh yeah, it's a huge factor, and the reality is that even if you thought this isn't a bad tax or you weren't sure about it, I would argue that people should vote against it just because of the way it was done, the absolutely arbitrary, outrageous way it was imposed, the way the government's conducted itself ever since then, the absolute inability to keep to the truth on this one is astonishing. And it would be a good lesson for any future government in this province and across the country, which will be the case if we're successful, that you just can't treat voters like dirt. And I think that's one of the big lessons there. But, I mean, there's lots of other reasons. There's all the good reasons we've been talking about to vote against it. But that one, on a democratic basis, is really important and is certainly something that's fueled this. You know, the Initiative Act was supposed to be impossible. It was supposed to be absolutely impossible to get an initiative passed. There's been, I think, six previous tries, none come close. And this time, because, you know, it wasn't, I mean, Bill Van Der Zand played an enormous leadership role, and Chris Delaney, and I've done my bit, and other people. But the real heroes of this were the ordinary citizens across the country who grabbed the petitions, went through the process of becoming almost 7,000 registered canvassers, went door to door, went to their neighborhoods, went to the community centers and got the signatures. And, you know, they made this thing a success. And even then, that's when, if at the absolute worst, the government should at that point said, you know what, this is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And still no. So really hope that they are spanked or taught a lesson on this one, if only for that reason alone.
Well, you know, and you raise an interesting point. When the government saw this amount of outrage, because it takes a lot to get British Columbians, you know, motivated, especially on something political. I mean, you know, that I often say, you know, politics can become an occasional sport in BC under the right issue. But wouldn't that have been just the opportune time for the governing party to take a leadership role and say, look, if there's this much dissatisfaction, if there's this much division, if there's this much animosity towards what we are doing, let's pull back and reevaluate. Wouldn't that have just, you know, flung any political party into the heavenlies as far as being a responsive government to the people? That was a win-win at that point.
It was totally, and you know, W.A.C. Bennett was famous for his sober second thought or second look at policies and things when people were opposed. Gordon Campbell, when he tried to privatize the Coquihalla Highway and there was massive opposition, he reversed himself. But he's a very stubborn man, as you both know, and he did not want to reverse on this one. Neither did Mr. Hansen. They're both gone now. And, you know, it's a lesson for anyone in politics. Forget about the issue itself. When you don't listen to people, you pay a big price.
So tell me how things are sizing up at this point. Is the momentum still going good? I mean, I was asking Mark, whether or not he mailed in his envelope. I did mine, and I did so cracking up, following all the instructions to a T, which is, you know, typically you just apply logic. But this one, I really wanted to make sure I did right. It was not going to screw up on behalf of Extinguish the HST side. They were going to get my vote. How did you vote, Mark?
Well, I voted to extinguish the HST, and I almost spoiled my ballot by writing in big black letters, flat tax, 1% sales tax.
Oh, my goodness. Now you are really talking my language.
Well, you guys start your own petition.
All right. So how are things?
I think we're going to win. I don't like to be overconfident, and I'm not, because I'll tell you, we have been outspent 100-1 is my guess at this point. The government outspent us 40-1 in one afternoon when they announced a $5 million ad campaign. The large business, the big business community and the Smart Tax Alliance that they've funded has spent, I think, 10 to 15 million. And I think the government's overspent its budget given the number of ads we've seen everywhere. So we're going to probably be outspent by 100-1, and we'll never know because there's no financial disclosure, as I said before. But I think we'll win about 60-40. That's my guess. It might be closer than that. If we lose, we won't lose by much. And, you know, it's possible. I mean, the amount of advertising and the amount of propaganda and the amount of deception going on and misinformation in this campaign from the government and the business side has just been outrageous. But I don't think people are going to be fooled.
That's something we didn't touch on, Bill. We're closing up the segment here. But that's something we didn't touch on that has really discouraged me, this disingenuous messaging and the deliberate attempt to fool people into voting one way or the other.
Fool people. They're saying, you're so stupid, you just need to listen. They're not even trying to fool us. They're telling us we're stupid.
Well, when they said vote no for lower taxes, when they introduced a new tax, I mean, you really, it's really Orwellian.
Yeah.
And nobody puts it to Clark. Nobody puts it to her. She's very hard to, for, as you know, Bill, for the media to get a hold of. But I'd like to see her sit down in a live interview in front of a camera and justify that disinformation campaign.
Well, and she's been, as you know, Mark, she's not very available to the media, and the media haven't, no one's asked about why there's no financial reporting or anything, all the usual things from an election. No
asleep at the switch, Bill. Should we be surprised at that? The media is dead in Vancouver.
And Victoria. Well, it's very frustrating for me, Mark. But to your point, Christy Clark's also refused to debate. Adrian Dix refused to debate David Eby when he ran in Point Grey. I mean, she's running away from debates, you know, left, right, and center, really, and she doesn't want to talk about these issues because she thinks if she doesn't, she can win, and that's, you know, that's a real sad commentary.
Well, that's I think it's going to come back to bite her big time, because I don't think that's the kind of leadership people expect. And you know what else, Bill? It regardless of how the HST vote comes down, I think the Fight HST group and the people power associated with that are going to win. It may be in the next battle in the general election, but I think you are going to win one way or another.
Well, I certainly hope so, and it's been a real wild ride, but, you know, I have to say that it's been a real pleasure to work with Bill Vanderzam. He's just a great guy, and I worked 2 years to try and get rid of him, and I never thought I'd be saying that, but we were on tour together last month, and we just had a great time, and I've worked with him on several other issues. You know, he's a real populist, and he really believes in democracy and people power.
Now, you're heading over to Victoria, you said. What are you going to be doing over there? You're
going to... Well, we're going to be sworn in as observers. We are allowed to have two observers at a time, so Bill and I will be observers for a while at the Elections BC Processing Center for the ballots. Just we are observers and not scrutineers. No one on our side can object or say, hey, wait a minute, that ballot should be counted or that one shouldn't, which is normal in an election, but we've got observer status. So, and then we're going to talk about the real problems we haven't talked about tonight, is that literally hundreds and hundreds of people have contacted us saying they haven't got their ballots, they've contacted Elections BC, they got through on the toll-free line, which was difficult, and they still haven't got a ballot. And so I'm very concerned that thousands of people are going to be disenfranchised in this vote.
Hmm. Now, tell me a little bit about the process then. Now, for us responsible sorts that have plugged our little ballot into the numerous envelopes and shifted it off, once it hits Victoria, are they in the process of counting those ballots as we speak then?
No, what they're doing now is processing to ensure the legitimacy of each ballot. So as you remember, and people who've done this, there's several envelopes. There's a security envelope. There's a secrecy envelope. So what they're doing is going through a process where they actually check your name against the voters list to say, okay, yes, this person is legit. And they filled out the information correctly, you know, the date of birth and all that sort of stuff. And then they remove that one, and then it goes into the secrecy envelope to there, and then those will be opened and counted after August the 5th.
Okay, so after August the 5th, and how long is the count supposed to take then? When will we know?
They're saying it'll be up to a month.
A month.
And I think it's going to be at least 2-3 weeks.
All right. And then will you be notified at that point then, as far as the Fight HST group or how?
You know, it was funny how they dealt with the initiative. I mean, we sort of got a letter saying, you know, yeah, you got it. And we didn't even get a phone call or anything from Elections BC. So I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you know where you rate, don't you?
Well, they're not overly keen on us for some reason in terms of dealing with us and informing us at the same time. But they, you know, it doesn't matter to me. They can have a news conference. They can have a press release. Whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure that the ballot is counted properly, that there aren't any concerns, and that no one's disenfranchised.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot of people are already disenfranchised, especially the people that didn't get their ballots.
I can tell you, literally, I was reading emails before I came on, people saying, I called Elections BC, I told them my address, I'm on the election, I voted in 2009, I'm on the voters list, and they said they'd send me a ballot, and I haven't got it yet. And, you know, we're getting pretty close to the wire here.
Absolutely. All right, Bill Thielman, well, I know we will be in touch with you and Chris Delaney and Bill Vanderzam, and again, on behalf of a lot of British Columbians, I just want to express our thank you. You guys have just done an amazing job, regardless of what side of the HST. I mean, and I think this is what's so brilliant about this whole thing, is that you've demonstrated and have brought together the projection that people care about things, and when they care about something, they actually get involved. So bravo to you guys, and it's going to be a very interesting first few weeks of August when we find out what's gone on with this vote.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks for having me. We appreciate all of the interest you've shown, and always ready to debate the HST with anybody.
Yeah, there you go.
Even Christy.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do.
You can get her on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, here at Roadkill, we're hard to resist, hey? All right, good night, Bill.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Bill Thielman, people, you can go to his blog. Just type in a Google search with Bill Thielman, and you will find him. He's a busy man, interesting commentary. Interesting ideas, and has been involved in British Columbia politics for a very long time. An in-the-know kind of guy, I think, is what they call him.
Yes, and anything, I support getting rid of any tax. Anything that makes forces our provincial, our federal, our municipal government to live leaner, cut the fat, stop creating programs, I support.
Well, Ian, you know, it's interesting. I just about, well, smiled from ear to ear when you said the flat tax, Mark. We haven't had some really heavy discussions on a lot of things political. It's interesting how these kinds of guests bring them out. But one of the things I said to a group of people recently talking about the HST is, it's not so much about, you know, whether it goes from a 12% down to 10%. It's why the hell do we have a provincial sales tax at all? You know, that should be the discussion that's out there.
Alberta does just fine without it now that they are running a deficit right now, but there's a lot of reasons for that. Alberta is the only province in Canada that does not have either a PST or an HST. And, yeah, I would love to see that trend move west.
Well, it's not like we don't have a whole bunch of natural resources that should be profiting the people of this province, you know. And this is what I think people forget. We are a naturally resource-rich province. Why aren't we, as the citizenry, getting the benefit of that?
Well, let's start the campaign. I say 10% flat tax.
Oh, you are brutal. I was being generous with 12%, but okay, I'll go. Let's compromise.
11% flat tax, and I was going to say 1% sales
okay.
tax.
All right, well, okay.
But that's why, if you want to eliminate sales tax, I'm good with that.
Okay, let's just go
and
flat tax.
And the Ministry of Education has got to go.
And the Ministry of Children and Families. We'll save $1 billion plus right there. And then let's look at all the you know, special interest groups we're funding. Get rid of them.
School boards they can go to.
And, you know, I think we'll just solve all BC problems.